So we
bring down a little bit.
All right, so we left off with the question regarding the Rambam Shita of the Ibud Lishma, right? That's what we left off with. Aside for the general question of, aside for the other question of the Tfira, how that works, that you only need to stitch it, that the requirements of Sefer end at the way it's stitched, right? They go through all the material elements up to the way it's stitched. And then they seem to turn to a positive in the derech of the Kriya. But the question is the Ibud Lishma. So the Ramban says, it's Pashtus, you should say the Ibud should be Lishma, because that's part of the klaf. I mean, it's part of the guf. But the Rambam says no, and he says maybe the Rambam held that since Lishma is not a dover that's nikker, it's not nikker baklal, it's not kidvarim shemigufa, ukidvarim shehein ba veena migufa, ukitfira. It's not in either one of those categories. It's not gufa itself, and it's not what he calls now shehein ba, but not migufa, like the tfira. Rather, it's like the things that are chutz l'gufa. It's like the things that are completely extraneous to the body. And then we go, and on that we go like Igaris. That doesn't require Ibud. Yeah, so what do you say? So what do you say about the question? The Ramban's Svara in the Rambam. Things we go by Igaris. Right? In other words, he's saying the formula that we've come to is things that are intrinsic, things that are migufa are have a din sefer, and things that are chutz leguf have a din igeris. So pashtus, you should say the ibud lishma is a din in the guf, because that's preparing the guf. But maybe the Rambam held, since it's not nikeris klal, it has the din of things that are chutz leguf. Okay. In other words, what we're saying here is that, what does it mean that it's not nicker? That's the question. What does he mean that it's not nicker? What does that have to do with it? I mean, it's the klaf. The klaf is certainly a din in the guf, and it's a din in the, and it's how you prepare the klaf. That's his argument. He's saying it's a din in the klaf. Ibud Lishma is the way the klaf of a Sefer Torah is prepared. And there's a comparison now to the Dio and the Ala Sefer. So the Sefer of and that's the comparison to Sefer Torah. So the Dio and the Klaf that you're borrowing from Sefer Torah should require same Dio and the same Klaf. Just like over there the Klaf is made with Ibud Lishma, here too the Klaf should be made with Ibud Lishma. So what does it mean it's not Nikaris? So what does it mean it's not Nikaris? So what do you say now, if I frame it that way? What does it mean it's not Nikaris? It means that the Ibud Lishma, I'm going to say something that might contradict something else that the Rambam says also, but we'll have to let that go for a minute. The Ibud Lishma, I would say, doesn't add to the quality of the klaf. In other words, the Ramban is learning, what are we deriving from Sefer? There are certain Sefer qualities, like the durability. Now that is not, so we can borrow qualities of Sefer. Right? The ksiva has to be of a certain quality. It has to be of a good lasting ink, a good lasting paper, parchment, a nice form, all of those things. So he says, but the Lishma doesn't make the klaf any different. When he says it's not Nikaris, the way I'm learning, not Nikaris means that it doesn't add, like you're saying, it doesn't add to any qualitative change in the klaf. All you learn from Sefer is that those elements that it's not really a sefer. So we're just abstracting out certain qualities of sefer. But in terms of the types of things that we're using. We're using dio, we're using klaf. But lishma does not make something a different type of thing. Whether the person had in mind a certain idea when he was processing the leather doesn't make it a different kind of leather. You understand? So that's what he's saying. He's saying, therefore, maybe that was the Rambam Svara, that when we say we take over the material elements of Sefer, does that mean we take over the cloth shell Sefer, which then it would have to be Ibud Lishma, it'd have to be the identical cloth that's used in the Sefer, or are we abstracting out certain qualities from Sefer? Saying the quality of the ksiva has to be as good as Sefer ksiva. So that means to say it has to have the highest grade materials. But lishma or not lishma does not constitute any change in the quality of the materials. So we're just really getting those the qualities of the Sefer, not components of Sefer. In other words, are we taking components of Sefer, or are we just abstracting out, or are we comparing qualities of Sefer? So quality is, that's where Eino Nikr comes in. When I'm saying Eino Nikr, doesn't mean because you don't see it. That's not really what it means. It means to say that since it's not a visible change, it's not a detectable change, that means there's no qualitative difference. It's just a din, Sefer Torah, needs Ibud Lishma. So the reason why I'm saying it contradicts something that the Rambam says elsewhere is because, I don't know, you may have heard this as a tshuva, that they ask the Rambam why certain things need Ibud Lishma and certain things don't need Ibud Lishma. Right? I think by tefillin they ask him, it doesn't need Ibud Lishma, and mezuzah does need Ibud Lishma. So he says, because things that have to last a very long time, they needed to do Ibud Lishma. The Torah requires Ibud Lishma, because if you do Lishma, then you'll do a better job. but anyway, but over here, it's not. He's saying it's not Nikr. Okay. So what do you say about the Tefira? Any thoughts on the Tefira? What does the Gemara say about the Tefira? It says that as long as it has to be the same component like leather, like a Gidin, like the Sefer Torah, but it doesn't have to be assembled like the Sefer Torah. Who made these drawings? No one from this year?
Oh, yeah. I made the one left. Oh.
Well, if it's wrong, just ignore it.
No, it's not wrong. Why would you say it's wrong? That's like Rashi's pshat. Mishulash.
Of course, yeah, Rashi's pshat.
That's the machlokas we're showing them, what mishulash means. Rashi says it means that it's like evenly spaced, so that the three sections, there's a section from the top to the first stitch, the second stitch to the middle stitch, and the second stitch to the bottom. Meaning that it's like... Like by ir mikla, to mishulash means it's like it's divided up evenly. The other pshat is it's in triplicate. But anyway, so what's the idea? But Sefer Torah is all the way down. There's no empty space. It's stitched all the way from the top to the bottom. I mean, not from the very top, but from where it starts, it goes all the way down to the end. Doesn't have any breaks. All right, so I don't know. I think that if we go further, I think it takes up this type of issue. Okay. So let's take a now he gets into the more difficult problems. So he says like this: Umastavra shelo hikilu mishum igeres. See, that lashon is very important, right? He calls it a kula of igeres. They weren't makel by because of igeres ela bepsul she'ena mispashit bekula. The only makel because of Igeris, in a psul, isn't that amazing? Use the word in a psul, that's not mispashit bekula. Just a fascinating way he expresses it. Take a psul, right? Take any psul, and he's saying now, what does Igeris do for you? What does Igeris do for you? It allows you to tolerate psul more than a sefer does. What do you say? Kigon, tfira miktsasa begidin kidin sefer miktsasa bepishtan mishumi geras. What does he mean by that? You have the Mishnah Berurah? Above? What does he mean by that? Pshat, what does he mean by that? Levi, you got the pshat there? So that's the Gemara. You saw the Gemara? Right, the Gemara says, Nikra Sefer. So if you did Pishtun, it's no good. It has to be Gidin. But it's also Nikra Sigeris. So that if... So all you need is... What? What's the Lashon of the Gemara? Right, so the Gemara says... Nikras Sefer, Nikras Igeres. Nikras Sefer, Shem Tofer B'chutei Pishton, Psula. V'Nikras Igeres, Shem Hitil Bosh, Shlosha Chutei Gidin, Kshera. Right. Amar Rav Nachman, Ubovad Sheyehu Mishuloshin. Says Rashi. Rashi says Mishuloshin means Sheyehe Merosh. He changes the word. It shouldn't be the Tefer, it should be Sefer. Merosh HaSefer at Mokum Tfiras HaGid. Kimi menu v'ada gid asheni. I mean asheni l'shlishi. Kimi shlishi l'sofa sefer. So it should be evenly dispersed. That's the Tosfos says. That's like it talks about ir mikla is mishulash. Should be evenly dispersed. Okay. But anyway, so that means that what? Three tfiros. They have to. You must use the material of gidin. That's din sefer. And where does igeres come? To tell you that all you need is three, as long as the gidin are evenly dispersed. Let's learn Rashi's pshat. So what does that mean? So that's what it comes down, practically speaking. The mechaber says like this: Im tofra bechute pishtam psula. Okay. Im hitel bo gimel chute gidin kshera ubavad shiu mishulashos. All right. So he says, but we don't know exactly what mishulashos means. So we try to be yotzi both shitas, both of these shitas. Okay. We try to be yotzi both of those shitas. So he says, but the Ramah says, v'im ein lo gidin yoser mutav litvor hashar b'chute pishtan milenicha below tfira. So he says, if you don't have enough, as long as you have the three that are mashulash, and you want to add, and you don't have any more gidin, you can add more tfiros made out of the pishtan. Right? So what does that mean? But in the Sefer Torah, it would be possible if you added Pishtan. So he's learning. That's what the Ramban is learning over here. He's learning that if it was a real Sefer Torah, if it really had a din of Sefer, then any Pishtan would be possible. So Pishtan is a psul. The presence of Pishtan is a psul. Okay? So he's saying, but by Igeres, what's the din? As long as you have three Gidin, three tefiros of Gidin, there's no psul of having Pishtan in the rest. So he's learning it like a kula in the psul of the, they're makel in a psul. As long as it's not mispashet bakula. That's how he's learning the din of mishulash. That really me din say, you know, he's looking at it like this. The whole dini geres is a relaxing of the requirements of sefer. So you have to look at the requirements of sefer, and certain things that if you did to a sefer would passel it. Those psulin the igeres is tolerant of. Things that would destroy the din of a sefer don't destroy the din of Igeres. Meaning what? That the way he's looking at it is an interesting way. That it means to say that psule sefer are tolerated in Igeres. Is that like a strange way of saying it?
That's only if you meet the initial requirement.
That's right. So he's saying, why is it that tefira, that three, as long as you have it mishulash, it's good. It's good. He says, because the rest where you don't have the gidin is really a psul. because you're lacking tefira. In the Sefer Torah, you'd have to have tefira from top to bottom. So if you only have three tefiros in your Megillah, turns out that where you're missing the tefiros is really would be a psul for a Sefer, right? But it's okay because we allow psulin in the Megillah when it's sort of evenly dispersed, when it's there in a minor role. Does that make any sense? It's not the way you normally think about it, right? It's a funny thing. You normally would think, well, there's requirements of Sefer and requirements of Igaris. Right?
Over here, there's a lesser, by Igaris, it's a lesser form of requirement.
That's what he's saying. He's saying Igaris is really just a lesser form of requirement, which means to say that it's not as, it's sort of like this. Well, let's go a little further. Because it's clear, let's go a little further. Umizeh Amru, this is an amazing Ramban. He's trying to unify different halachos in the Gemara. He says, Umizeh Amru, so he starts off by saying that Lo hikilu mishum igeres ela bipsul she'ena mispashet bekula, like the din of the tefira, that as long as you have some gidin, like a Sefer Torah, and some not, pishtan, or empty, doesn't matter, it still is good. Umizeh amru dehishmit bo hasofer osios o pasuk v'koron hakorei kimeturgum on yotza. So that's the other Gemara. The Gemara says, if the sofer left out a few lines of the Megillah, he just left out words, left out psukim. Okay. V'koron hakorei kimeturgum on, what does that mean? Baal peh. A maturgamon reads what's not written. That's what a maturgamon does. He reads the Torah and then he reads tirgum. But the tirgum is baal peh, right? That's the expression. So it means he reads the missing words baal peh. Yotza. He's yotze. Ve'havinan bo, and the Gemara asks the kasha koron al peh. How could it be yotze? Is it kri al peh? Right, umatar tzina and lokasha, habekula habmiktzasa. So the Gemara asks Kasha, how could you tell me, Karan? How could you tell me that if the sofer left out words and you read the missing parts, bal pets, kasha, you yotza. But the Mishnah says Karan al pelo yotza, and obviously that's called bal pet because it's not written. So the Gemara says no, it's no kasha. When it says Karan al pez lo yotza, that's when you read it kulu al pet. But here, you're only missing some of the words. So you're really only reading some of it, Baal Peh. Okay. The Kevan, so what's the difference? The Kevan, the Psul, the Miktsasi, Kshera, Ki'igeris. Since you're only missing some words, that's kosher, like an Igeris. Now here it's very clear that it's definitely a psul. Missing words is definitely a psul. Right? It's definitely a psul. But it's a permitted psul. It's a permitted psul. Notice, he's saying that's the right way to look at it. When I say, if I say, can I have, if I'm missing tefiros, is it good? If I only stitch it in three spots, that's basically missing tefiros. So missing tefiros is a psul. If I'm missing all of them, it would definitely be possible. So why are you allowed to miss a few? Because a psul is tolerated. There's a high tolerance of psul in Megillah, in Igaris. I'm missing words. Certainly a component of the Megillah. As long as I'm only missing a few, it's tolerated, midin Igaris. But a sefer, missing one word, psul. Yeah. Okay, he gets even more interesting. Now he's like this. She'ilu b'sefer Torah shehishmit bo os achas posel. Ela kal hu shehikilu b'megillah mishum igeres. It's just a kula because of igeres. If you had a sefer Torah missing one word, one letter, one os, right, it's posel. Why is the Megillah good? It doesn't say Mordechai in a certain spot, doesn't say, missing a couple words. right? Vayhi bimei, hu Achashverosh. Just fill it in. Just fill it in. Can't say it's not. Can't say it's not defective. What are you going to say? It's not a defective Megillah? Of course it's a defective Megillah. But you can use a defective Megillah. Okay. Why? It's a kula. Because it's a nigeres. Umiu dafka shakar and kore al peh. But he'll only be yotze when he reads from that Megillah if he reads the missing words. Aval hishmir hakore, afilu posik echad, even less than one pasuk. Lo yotza kid the katani idach. Lo yomar ekra of echzor of ekra osu a pasuk. So, yeah, if you don't do these gemaras, it's going to be hard to figure out what he's talking about. But the gemara says if a guy is coming to a minyan, or he's in a certain situation and he misses a pasuk, so he shouldn't say I'll finish the whole Megillah and then I'll come back to that pasuk. But he has to start from where the pasuk from the pasuk he missed. So the proof is that if you missed one pasuk, it's no good. He's trying to bring a proof that if you missed one pasuk, it's no good. Because the Gemara says, don't think if you missed one pasuk, finish the kriya and then say the last pasuk. Say the pasuk you missed later. But you have to say the pasuk you missed, right? So he's just proving, that's just the proof that in the kriya you can't miss a word. But the thing, but what you're reading from to be considered any geres in terms of not being a kriya shebal peh, the text doesn't have to be perfect. The kriya has to be perfect, but the text is allowed to have mistakes. Yeah.
Isn't kriya reading?
So there's reading from the text and there's reading bal peh. So what you read, but the question is, when the text is missing words, is it considered the text? That's the question. So if it's a sefer Torah, it's not good. It's puzzle. Every word you read out of that Torah is like a kriya bal peh. But if it's a Megillah, every word you read out of the Megillah is a kriyas Megillah, minaksav, because it is a cheftza of Megillah. And then the Gemara says you just can't have, as long as rove of your kriya is not bal peh, you can fill in bal peh stuff. That's why we say, that's why we always say, they always make an announcement in shul. And when you're listening to the Megillah, they say, if you missed a word, say it yourself. Aye, it's bal peh, because you can have some of the kriya bal peh. Rove of the kriya has to be minaksav, but you can have a miyat bal peh. So that's what he's saying. But the key question is the sefer, is the Megillah that's missing words, does it have a din of a Megillah, so that the part that is written is considered not bal peh? That's the key question. So that's just a raya that if you miss a word in the kriya, it's no good. V'zehu she'omu b'perek rishon. Now this is an amazing thing also. B'tirgum she'karo mikra. I think I forgot to include this in the list of things you should look at, but it's obvious. So it says has a little bit of a tough gemara over there. Gemara says like this. The gemara says like this, that if you have a Megillah, the gemara says that the Megillah has to be written the way it was, has to be the way it was written. So there are certain words in the Megillah that are written in Aramaic, and they have to be in Aramaic, in the Megillah. And anything that's written in Hebrew has to be in Hebrew in the Megillah. Okay? So it says like the word Paschegen, Haksav. So that's a, okay, Piskam. Piskam means is Aramaic, whatever the language is. So if you wrote the, if you wrote the Tirgum Mikra, could go Nishma Piskam Melech. So you wrote Nishma Devar Melech. So that would be the translation of Piskam. So that would be no good. So it says Eina Matamo Esayodayim. So what does that mean? What's Matamo Esayodayim?
It's a sefer.
Right. So there's a halacha, the Gzeira Mit Rabbanon, that a sefer is matame yadayim. If you touch a sefer Torah, it's matame yadayim. Okay, you know why they made that gzera?
Because you wouldn't touch it.
Why? Why do they not want you to? No, it's not because not touching it. What?
You're not supposed to touch a sefer Torah with your bare hands.
Yeah, because it says they used to keep the truma by the Sefer Torah. They used to think the Torah was kodesh, and truma is kodesh. So they would store the truma with the Sefer Torah. Problem was what? No. The problem was the mice would come and eat the truma and eat the and then cut and chew away. They didn't want to keep food by the Sefer Torah. It's like in the dorm rooms. You don't want to keep. No food by the Sefer Torah. So the person's not going to keep his sandwich in the Sefer. He's going to keep truma there. That's the only food you're going to keep there. So the Sefer is Matamei Sutayim, you don't keep the food there. But the din is only a kosher Sefer, only something that has a din of a Sefer is Matamei Sutayim. So it was always a question. You want to test if something is really considered have kedusha sefer, it's matamei sudaim. If it doesn't have kedusha sefer, it's not matamei sudaim. So the Gemara says that if you write the Megillah and you write one word in that should have been tirgum and you write it in Hebrew, v'nishma devar ha-melech, it's not matamei sudaim. Okay, so what does that show you? That means one. What did you make? You made one little mistake, and what? You lost the whole Megillah. So isn't that a steer? How could the Gemara over there say you can be missing whole psukim, and you can still be yotzei reading from it? So that means it's still a good Megillah. And yet the Gemara in the Anches says that if you wrote one word wrong, then it's not matamei sudaim. Huh? Yeah. Are you saying a mistake is worse than an omission?
I'm saying a mistake in the actual quote, in the actual, on the actual page, is a different type of mistake. It's a din in the good.
Okay.
If you're reading it, it's not a din in the good, it's how you're tracking.
Okay. Let's see. It's still kosher for Kriya. Right, just to restate the stira. If a sofer missed, on Yudches it says, if a sofer missed a few words, psukim, whatever, even up to half, I mean, it's an amazing leeway, then it still is a good Megillah. And you yotze your Kriya. I should say, you yotze your Kriya. Okay, you yotze your Kriya. Because all the stuff that's Baal Peh is a miyat, and the Nigeris can have mistakes and still be a Nigeris for Kriya. But then the Gemara says on Ches, one word written wrong is not matamei sudaim already, right? So that sounds like it's not good. Yeah.
There's a difference between an omission and reading over. You can read a mistake.
So let me ask you a question. You guys are very analytical, I see. You want to make a distinction between a mistake and an omission. That's good. I like that. But let me ask you a question. What if I took the Megillah that said V'nishma Devar HaMelech and I read V'nishma Piska HaMelech? Okay. So the Ramban says U'mizeh Omru Dehishmit Bo, I'm sorry. He says Dekevan She'im Kora Kain. Listen carefully what he says. Lo Yotza Eina osuya kihilchasa letame esayadayim. He says, why is it that the sefer, that the Megillah that says Devar instead of Piskam, is not metame esayadayim? So that's like what Avi was saying, right? If you read it the way it's written, right, which the thing is asking you to do, right, and that's what it's saying, read me, then it would not be, you would not be yotzi or kriya, that's for sure. Right? If a person read the word devar instead of piskam, if you read devar, he would not be yotzi. Therefore, the Megillah is not written kehilchasa to be metames yodayim. Aval im kara osa teva tirgum al peh, but if you did read the word properly, bal peh, you skipped the word written devar and you just read piskam. Vada yotza dilo gora mehishmit. It's no different than if it was missing. V'chein nami kishihi k'suva kula b'chol lashon. So too, I know it's a little bit hard with Ramban because he's sort of breezing through a bunch of sugyas, right? But he says, so too, what's the interesting thing about Megillah that probably most of you have heard before, right? That Lo'ez Lilo'azos is Yatzah, right? The Megillah can be read in any language. It can be written in any language and read in any language. You can write the whole Megillah in English and read it in English. You can write the whole Megillah in any language and read it in any language. And provided that person who you're reading it to knows that language, and according to the Ramban, he has to only know that language to the exclusion of Hebrew, then he'll be Yotzei. Okay? But we say that Megillah would not be Metameis Yodayim either. The only Megillah that's Metameis Yodayim is the Hebrew Megillah. Okay? Why? So he says like this. He says, so too, if the Megillah is written in any language, de'ena Metameis Yodayim. Even though the person who reads that language, who understands that language, is yotze with the kriya, the kod lochazi lekuli alma ena asuya ki hilchasa mikri velo mitama esayadayim. So he says like this. He's showing you an amazing divergence, an amazing discrepancy in Megillah. Let's just go over the basic facts. Okay, ready? The basic facts are like this. The Mishnah says, Halo'ez l'lo'azos is yatzah. So that means if a person only understands Russian, and you have a Megillah written in Russian, and you read it to him in Russian, he'll be yotzei. Okay? Now what if you heard the reading in Russian, and you don't speak Russian? Would you be yotzei? No, absolutely not. Okay? So it's just Halo'ez l'lo'azos is yatzah. If it's in a foreign language, to the speaker of that foreign language, he's yotze. Okay? But what about Hebrew? What about the way it's written? Let's say the person doesn't understand the words of the Megillah, they don't speak Hebrew. They're still yotze. Okay? So that's the difference. A Megillah that's written in Hebrew, kichsavah, right, is written properly in the way it was originally recorded. Anybody who hears it is yotze, regardless of whether they speak the language or not. But the Rabbanan allowed a kriya of another language, of Laz, to someone who can speak Laz, doesn't speak Hebrew and can speak Laz. Okay? So then it comes out like this. If I have a Megillah that's written in Portuguese, right? Only someone who speaks that language can be yotze that kriya. And if I have a Megillah that's written in Hebrew, anyone can be yotzei that kriya. Okay? So he says, that's the din of Tumas HaYodayim. Tumas HaYodayim is a separate din from whether I can use this to be yotzei or not. Whether I can use it to be yotzei or not does not mean it will be Metameis HaYodayim. It will only be Metameis HaYodayim when... Give me the formula. When will it be Metameis HaYodayim? But conceptually, what's the formula? No. Sir? Dekol delo chazi lekuli alma eina asuya kehilchasa mikri. It has to be written in the way that reading exactly what it says will allow anyone to be yotzei. If the ksav is such that the reading of it will allow anyone to be yotzei, then it's called asuya kehilchasa. But if it's not and requires either a change from what is written, which means to say I have to add in missing words or change mistaken words, or if it's written perfectly but in a language that only some people can be yotze with, it's not called asuya kehilchasa. And it will not be metameis yodayim, even though the kriya is not considered bal peh and it's a kasher kriya. So you see an amazing thing by Megillah. You see an amazing thing by Megillah. That the din sefer, and that's not a crazy jump to say, that sefer, that metameis yadayim is a din of sefer. Maybe. I'll think about that. But he's saying like this. One thing you can see for sure, that by Megillah you have something that you don't have elsewhere. By a Sefer Torah, there's no such thing, according to Ramban, as a Kasher Sefer Torah for Kriya and a Kasher Sefer Torah for Betameis Yadayim. There's only one thing. There is the Sefer Torah Kehilchaso. Either made the Sefer Torah right and it's Betameis Yadayim and you can read from it, or you made it wrong and it's nothing. Because it doesn't tolerate any psul. But he's saying by Igeres there's such a thing as being made right, having all the dinim of Sefer, Metameis Yodayim, and being made wrong, but still good enough for Kriya. Right? And why is it possible to have something wrong but still good enough for Kriya? Igeres. So what do you say? Just an armchair svara. What do you say over here?
It's an armchair svara.
It means like a casual kind of, you throw out an idea casually. You know, you're sitting back in the armchair, you're relaxing. You never heard of that expression? An armchair philosopher's expression. It means he's not a really serious, stark guy. He just sits back and pontificates.
So I can never really...
I think he's a stark guy. That's a stark guy sitting there.
Stark guy, no, he's a peripatetic. So what do you say? It means like a first thought.
So I could get, if I have a bad spar, I could get away with saying, oh, it's just an armchair.
Exactly. It's just like something to help us start working on, you know? You know what we're going to do? We're going to go through the rest of the facts first to make your job easier. So now he moves on to Sefer Torah a little bit, okay? And he says like this. He's going a little further in this issue too. V'ra'isi b'Yerushalmi tani ein medaktin b'tayosel. All right, I think this is just still going back on the Kriya business. Because this is not talking about in the Torah, this is not talking about the Ksiva, this is talking about the Kriya. So he's just trying to show you again that even though we tolerate mistakes in the Ksiva, we don't tolerate mistakes in the Kriya. Because the Gemara says that which types of mistakes do we tolerate in the Kriya, things that don't change any meaning. Like Yehudim or Yehudim. If a person read one, either one is okay. Because it doesn't make a difference. Just this is it's written you know, if it's written Yehudim and you read Yehudim, so you weren't technically reading the thing, but so it was a mistake in a sense, but it's not a mistake of any importance. But you see, but he's still trying to stress. I think this is what this paragraph is doing here. He's still trying to stress the fact that the ksiva, that there's some, we allow some dissonance between the ksiva and the kriya. Don't think that it means you can read a sloppy kriya. That's not what we mean by egeres. It just means psulim in the cheftza are tolerated, but the kriya is not can't be messed up. Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. Now he's like this. Uminayin lanu. So what is the ikkar of what he's saying? The ikkar of what he's saying is that what? What's the ikkar chiddush of this Ramban? It's not an easy question to answer because it's confusing. We've said a lot of things, but what is the ikkar of what he's saying? Anybody know what the ikkar of what he's saying is? No. Halachically speaking, the ikkar is that sefer requires perfection and igeres doesn't. Right? Just bichlal. That's his whole point. Nikra sefer and nikra igeres. Sefer would require perfection and igeres relaxes some of the requirements. So it's important for his whole theory to be that a sefer will not tolerate any mistake. If a sefer tolerates mistakes, then his whole thing is sunk, because he's saying it's only from igeres that mistakes are allowed in. But sefer would require perfection, right? So now he has to stress that a sefer must be perfect. That's why he's going on to this next paragraph.
But the kriya of either of the two is distinct from what we're saying.
The kriya it always has to be correct,
except distinct from the cheftza.
Distinct from the cheftza, absolutely. Uminayin lanu dover ze besefer Torah shim hishmit bahasofer osios opostle v'ein korimbo. So that's the essence of what he's trying to show you, that a sefer, if it's missing a letter, you can't read from it at all. Different from the Megillah. Sharei Mishnah shaninu betfilin, because it's an open Mishnah by tefillin. Shtei parshiyos sheva mezuzah, arba parshiyos sheva tefillin, ma'akmin zeh zeh. So if you're missing one of the parshiyos, it's puzzle. And then it says, afilu ksav echad ma'akman, even one word. Va'avinan bo, pshita. So the Gemara says, of course it's pashat if you're missing something in the tefillin and the mezuzah. It's pashat that it's puzzle. Am Rabbi Yehuda l'nischel l'kutzo shel yud. No, it means even the little leg of the yud, or the top of the yud, whatever it is. Inami l'os she'ein gvil mukaf lo me'av ruchosel. Of course, you can't be missing a word or a letter. The Gemara says that's pasha, but it means even the tip of the yud. Really, you can still see it's a yud, but it's missing one of its features. Or there's a din that every letter has to be fully surrounded by klaf. So if two letters are touching, it's not a psul that you don't have the letter, it's a psul that it's not mukaf and gvil. It's called mukaf and gvil. But v'hainu nam goes achas. But you see clearly from the Gemara that one letter in the Sefer Torah apostles the whole Sefer Torah. Kedit mar Allah. Okay, here's other cases. Yeah. Alma tfilin bashmotas os achas nifsolin v'kol shekin shekosav bo tos. So now he's saying, and if you're missing one letter, it's possible. Certainly if you wrote the wrong word, you wrote the wrong letter, there's no difference. Now he's saying, certainly, like you guys are saying, if omission is no good, certainly mistake is no good, right? V'tanan, ein bein, and then it says, ein bein sefer Torah l'tfilin l'mezuzah l'sha svarim nichtav b'chol lashon. Ha'lin toz zev zeh shavin, alma svarim nifsolim, b'toz achas ad she'yitakin. So you see clearly that the Sefer Torah is puzzle if it's missing one. If it has one mistake in it, the whole Sefer Torah is puzzle until you fix it. Okay, don't worry about the aim being, what that means about the Chol Hashem business. But he goes like this. Now this is gonna surprise you. Okay? Everything is great up to this point. Okay, I mean at least factually there's nothing that's problematic. But there's one Gemara that really throws a monkey wrench into this whole thing. Okay? You're never going to believe this is what the Gemara says until you read it. Gemara says like this: Sefer Torah shechosar yiriyah achas ein korin bo. If a Sefer Torah is missing an entire panel, an entire column of words, you cannot read from it. And you don't need to be a master at deduction over here to know that it implies that if it's missing less than that, you can read from it. Right? It's just something bewildering. Right? How's that possible? One letter, the kutzo shel yud, is going to puzzle the tefillin. But a sefer Torah could be missing less than one full panel. So this obviously is very disturbing to the Ramban, because it goes against his whole thing that Sefer Torah can't tolerate a minor one little mistake. Ha choser pasuk mashmat the karimbo. Okay. Now he gives an answer that practically makes no sense. So let's see if we can work on it. Hosom shechoser yiriya achrona shel Sefer Torah. That means when you're missing the last column in the Sefer Torah. Oh, shel chumash echad, because you're really allowed to read from one full chumash. If you just had the brachos, you didn't have the five scrolls all in one, you had just the brachos. Really, mikra din, it's kasher for kriya. We don't do it because it's called not covered. It's not considered covered at tzibur. It looks like the tzibur is poor, whatever it is. But one chumash has the kedusha of a sefer brachos. You're allowed to read from it. Ubein yiriya gedola, bein yiriya katana. That's no good. If you're missing an entire column at the end, then it's no good. Because that's what the Gemara says, chosar milsei, something is missing. Aval hishmit bo sofer be'emtza, afilu posak echad, afilu os achas, lo tzricha lei, devade ein korin bo. So somehow or other, he's interpreting the Gemara to mean, if you're missing a full column at the end, of the Sefer. That's no good. But certainly, if you're missing a word in the middle, it's no good. But somehow or other, less than a full column at the end is still okay. It just like falls apart into almost unintelligible statements at this point. I mean, as a matter of fact, the Rashba quotes this Shita. If you take a look at the Rashba in Gittin, and he says it doesn't make any sense. You're missing almost the full column at the end is good, but one letter in the middle is no good. He says this means one letter. Doesn't really mean Yiriyah Achas. I think he interprets it to mean the same thing as just one letter anywhere. Doesn't mean anything. He just sort of like says it doesn't mean Dafka one Yiriyah. But the Ramban does. Well, it doesn't say Achrona.
It is the first column.
He says Zachorah. Right. So for some reason, Ramban learns any mistake anywhere is over, done. But less than a full column or a full column at the end, those are equivalent somehow. So I mean, Mamanoshach, if you need every single thing to be right, then what's the difference if it's at the end or in the middle? It's still not right. Right? So what are you thinking now? Because you're the... we had what? We had omission, mistake. So what's left?
Incompletion.
Okay, good. At least you're hitting the categories. But, obviously, just saying that word doesn't help much. It helps a little. At least it's something we start thinking about. But we have to get away from this idea that the Sefer Torah has to be perfect. And anyway, then he says, "Although you're dead." But then he goes on later, and you'll see. All right, we'll have to see. We have our work cut out for us now. Okay, good. Omoksiva of the... I mean, factually speaking, what does it mean you're missing a column? So I think what it means is like this. Let's say I'm at the end of the Sefer, okay? And I stop in the middle of the column. Just quit, okay? Now you have to figure out, will the remaining part of the Torah require me to go to another column or not? According to the ksiva that I'm doing up till now, will I need to go to another column? Will I need another column to finish the Torah? If I do need another column, then the Sefer is Chaser Yiriyah. If I don't need another column, it's not Chaser Yiriyah. Right? Now, if this is now after this, we'll try to do the Tosfos, because Tosfos has even more radical Shita. I mean, it's consistent, but it's radical, and that is he holds even in the Sefer Torah, if it's missing letters all over the place, it's fine. You can still read from it on Shabbos. Not a problem. That's how we're knowing. That's why if there's a mistake, we don't make another bracha. If there's a mistake in the Torah, they bring out another Torah, they don't make the Koreh make another bracha when he starts. They still rely on the bracha that he had from before. Because the combination of Tosfos and the Rambam. Rambam holds, you can always be Koreh Al Peh. And Tosfos holds, the Sefer is still good. We'll see. The Ran has a beautiful explanation for that sheet.